Hi, I'm Bruce Sword from The Pineapple Thief, and you're listening to Sonic Perspectives.
Hey, welcome everybody. This is Scott Medina for Sonic Perspectives. We're really glad to talk with Bruce Sword today as he is preparing to leave home and head across the pond, as they say. Hey, Bruce.
Hello.
Hi there. So you were just telling me that you literally just got the visas all sorted out for coming across to play North America. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, one of the big reasons a lot of bands from Europe struggle to get to the USA is because of the visas. It's expensive, but it's also incredibly long-winded process. And for some reason, our sound engineer visa was delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed. And we're leaving, you know, in 2 days' time, and we still didn't have it. And literally, I think half an hour, I checked the website, and it's just been issued. So it's like, oh, thank goodness, man, for that. So, So it's our first time. First time to do a headline tour of North America, so we're all very excited about it.
Yeah, that's incredible. You've been over here before. You did, was it a solo opening set for Stephen Wilson?
Well, we've done a few. So we did, we played Rozfest in 2005 or 2006.
I think that was the very first Rozfest, I think.
Was it? I do remember that the band wasn't quite as polished, I guess is the most polite way of putting it, as we are now. So the show was, it was okay. And then we came back and we played the last Nearfest that there ever was. And that was great. That was a really good gig. And as you said, a couple of years ago, I played a couple of Stephen Wilson shows, just opening for him solo acoustic, which was scary, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, how was the reception for you from the crowd?
Brilliant. Yeah, the American crowds are just so good. They're so polite, they're welcoming, they're just friendly. I remember I did one of the last shows I did with Stephen Wilson was in Dallas, and I've got this looper pedal and some other effects pedals, and they just all of a sudden started splurting out these weird noises, and I was like, oh great, here we go, front man on his own, Everything's going wrong, and the crowd were just cheering, laughing, and I got everything working, and they were like, you know, so even when things were going badly wrong, you know, the everyone was just really nice.
Cool. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And this has been a long time coming. And like when we spoke last year, at that time you had hopes to bring the band to North America. You were just thinking about it and said, you know, you'd probably do a couple shows on the East Coast and Chicago and maybe a couple on the West Coast. But it's turned out to be much more extensive than that.
Yeah, it did. Well, I think originally, you know, we just didn't know. We know that we've got a huge listenership in the USA because nowadays you got Spotify and you got Facebook and you can delve into your stats. So we knew that there were people there, but we just didn't know. Obviously, it's a huge place, so we didn't know whether we could just hop around wherever we wanted and get a crowd. And I'm not quite sure how the tour just expanded to the number of dates that it did. I think that's down to our agent. He just kept sticking new ones on. And the ticket sales have been great. So we're really pleased. You're right. It's a long tour, and much longer than we thought it would be.
Well, I'm thrilled you're making a stop in Denver because this is where I live, and so I'm thrilled I'm actually going to get to see you guys come out here. So thank you for that. How did it feel touring the Dissolution album last spring as compared with the tour for Your Wilderness before that?
It's a good question. I think the Your Wilderness tour was, we just didn't know what it was going to be like. You know, we convinced Gavin to tour with us. So he hadn't actually become a fully fledged member of the band at that point, but because he didn't know what we were like. We didn't know him. We didn't know if we'd get on touring and if it was all going to work. And by the end of the Your Wilderness sessions touring, we all got on like a house on fire, and we all knew what we were doing. So when Dissolution Tour came out, it seemed a lot more familiar. It was certainly a lot of fun, and we were certainly a lot better as well as a unit, and the crowds were bigger, so it just feels like, I don't know, it's strange, you know. I've been doing this since 1999, but when Gavin joined shortly after Your Wilderness, that's really when we've kind of had this Indian summer, you know, this renaissance, and it's still sort of, well, fingers touch wood, it's still, things are still going up.
Yeah. And you're just releasing a new live album this week from the earlier leg of this tour called Hold Our Fire.
That's right. Yeah. So that's just the full Dissolution album. And we've also threw in a track. So we did the live DVD Where We Stood. So we felt that we didn't really need to regurgitate tracks we'd already put on that one. But there was a track we do, a song we do on the tour, which is really good fun, called 3,000 Days. So that's also on the disc.
Right. Sweet. Yeah, there's just so much activity happening with you now, with the new tour, the new live album, your solo album. You know, you're planning to record another studio album. It's relentless right now. Or how are you feeling with all that momentum?
Well, it's when people tell me, you know, well, Bruce, do you realize you've done a solo album, you've got a live album, you know, you're doing a new studio, Pineapple Thief album, and he's saying, yeah, how the hell do I fit all this in? Well, I mean, for a long time, and I think like a lot of artists and musicians out there, I had to hold down another day job to pay the bills.
Right.
So in a way, that I wonder how the hell I did it back in those days, where I'd be going to work 9 to 5, coming back, going in the studio when I could. You know, your family suffers a bit from that. But I've been lucky since, for the good 4 or 5 years now, to be full time. And now I don't really have to do, you know, I used to have to do other mixing jobs and production work to sort of pay the bills, but now it's pretty much full-time Pineapple Thief and Bruce or solo. So it's that makes it possible. So it's like every day I wake up, go in my studio, and it's write songs or record or mix, and it's all Pineapple Thief or my own stuff. So yeah, I'm very lucky
yeah,
indeed.
That's a fantastic trajectory to be on. When you come over to North America, are you going to play the same set you did in Europe last spring, or do you change it up for different parts of the world?
It's a slightly different set. I think I think obviously some people did travel across the pond to see us in London, mm-hmm. and Europe. But I think because most people won't have seen us before, we're focusing on what we know we can really hit the audience with. You know, so it's going to be quite similar to the European set.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite song you're currently playing on tour?
Oh, God, I don't know. I really enjoy Final Thing on My Mind. That's just, I enjoy singing. I think one of the big things about my personal enjoyment is that now I've become, over the sort of last sort of 4 or 5 years, a much more confident frontman. And I think a lot of that has come from being able to have more control and confidence in my voice. Mm-hmm. I think like a lot of songwriters and guitarists say, you know, that you start writing songs and then you have to sing. You're a guitarist that has to sing. And that was me for a long time. But now almost, I think my voice and my vocal is probably my number one instrument. And, you know, the guitar is just a tool, really, to help me. And because we've got this great session guitarist that comes with us called George, who's just one of those guys that can just play anything at whatever miles per hour you want to tell him to play it at, he'll play it. And it's he's just one of those guys that's like mastered his guitar. So I just said, right, I'll leave that to you, and I'll just focus on being, you know, in getting in with the crowd and singing.
Yeah, that really frees you up to be the front man then.
Yeah.
Nice. As Gavin comes back from having toured extensively with King Crimson in between the different legs of your own touring, do you feel an impact in his playing from his time with that band?
Well, it's very different, isn't it? Very different. I mean, Gavin talks about it a lot, how he's just... I went to see King Crimson at the Royal Albert Hall here, and watching the way Gavin plays with King Crimson is like, well, I don't recognise that guy playing drums, because he's playing so lightly. And it's just obviously Gavin plays anything from jazz to hitting the drums hard. I mean, when Gavin rocks out with us, I don't think I've heard anyone hit the drums as loud as Gavin does. Mm. And he really, really whacks the kit. And so, yeah, I think it's a very, very, very different hat that Gavin has on when he comes out with us.
Yeah, impressive. He can jump back and forth between those worlds so much.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your new solo album, All This Will Be Yours, for a little bit. Is it somewhat dizzying to have this come out a month before you're going on a new tour with a live album? Or do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, so I knew that I owed my label K-Scope the album. In fact, they paid me for it years ago. And I, you know, spent the money, and I thought, right, I better deliver them their record before they come down and, take my furniture away. And so I thought, right, okay, I'll do that. And as you said, this year, King Crimson have been probably the busiest they've been for a long time on the road. So Gavin was away for 4 months. So I thought, right, now's the time to do this solo record, because Pineapple Thief now is very much a collaborative thing. I don't want to do any writing, especially if Gavin's not here, because there's a real writing partnership we've got. So from a real raw idea, he'll come in with the drums. And the drums will lead it in such different directions. So I never wanted to sort of say, right, here, Gav, here's a load of Pineapple Thief songs, go and drum on them, because it doesn't make it as exciting. Mm-hmm. And that's not what Pineapple Thief is anymore. And so with the solo, I just locked myself away in the studio. I thought I could do it in like 3 to 4 weeks, but it did turn into 4 months. It was a very long time. I mean, that's the thing, you know, when it's ready, you know when songs are good enough. So it was a very, very different, very solitary process. Nowhere near as much fun, but at the end of it, it's still very, it's very satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was a shift. You know, you had collaborated with Gavin a lot on Dissolution, and now you're going back to solo songwriting again, which you had previously done with the Pineapple Thief. But now it's a different thing, isn't it?
I think that you could almost argue that the early Pineapple Thief was just me, just Bruce Sword solo, and now the Pineapple Thief has turned into this truly collaborative outfit. And that's what's exciting. I don't know where the song's going to go. I don't know, the new album that we're writing now is going in all kinds of directions that I would never dream of. And that's brilliant. And that is the Pineapple Thief. And now I can quite comfortably take my Bruce Sword solo head and understand what exactly that is. And that is just, well, that's me with all my toys in my studio, with all my guitars and everything. And the fact that being a solo artist for so many years, you do have to find your way around keyboards, and you have to find your way around bass guitars, because by necessity. So after 20 years, I found myself being able to do it all. Yeah. So it's a nice place to be in that I could do that, but it's very, very different now to what the Pineapple Thief is.
Right. The solo album was somewhat inspired by the birth of your young daughter last year, is that right?
Yeah, so I was touring. So my wife was pregnant with a daughter, but she has a high risk pregnancy. So our first child, unfortunately, we lost him after he was born prematurely, and he lasted for 5 days. So we knew that after that we had twins, and what they do is they put a stitch in to prevent a premature birth. Mm. And the thing is, when they take the stitch out, the baby's born. So you know exactly when it's going to come. That's a good thing. And so I was on tour, and the tour finished in London, one of the biggest gigs we've done at a really good venue in London called Shepherd's Bush Empire. And my wife wanted to come to the show, but the doctors were saying, no, you need to give birth. And she begged them, please, can I just see Bruce's last gig? And then he'd come back and he'd be at the birth. So they convinced her, she convinced the doctors that was okay. So I drove back down to pick my wife up. We came up, she watched the show. Straight after the show, I drove her home. The next day, we had the baby daughter. So it was quite an extreme time. But it was a wonderful time. And as she grew up and became sort of about 2-3 months old, that when a baby is really quite easy, I'd have her in my studio. She'd just be babbling in her chair. And so I'd be working. And then when she went to sleep, I'd start writing and recording. And that was the process. And I didn't write an album or this is a song about my baby girl, but she was certainly gave me a perspective on life and everything that was happening around me, a unique perspective and certainly a unique sort of vibe in the studio, having this new life sat there staring at you. So yeah, that definitely informed the album quite deeply.
Right. And lyrics like Our Eyes Lock and Time Does Not Exist, is that referencing her, or is
that
something else?
Absolutely, yeah. So that was, you know, sometimes, you know, you just, you're so caught up in life and in how hectic and the day-to-day world is, and then all of a sudden you look at this small little life that's just got this pure look at you, and she looks at you and she smiles, and all of a sudden, you know, time just stops and you just think, oh, you know, that's how simple life can be, you know, and that's the simple sort of pleasures that we get from our relationships and family. And that certainly was directly inspired.
Yeah, it seems like such a juxtaposition of that feeling and emotion, and then with your other observations of the turmoil in the world, and you know, it's all kind of mixed together, it feels like, on this album.
Yeah, it was. And so quite often we would go for walks, and I mean, I'm in a typical sort of small town here in England, and it has its fair share of trouble and problems. There's a drug den two doors down from me. So I don't know how they live in it, but there's no windows and it's overgrown. And so there's a lyric in there, push past 158, which is I was literally pushing the pram as fast as I could past that house. And but it also signified the fact that by pushing past it, I was turning a blind eye. No one's dealing with this problem, you know, and the issues that we have, I just find it very sad. And but at the same time, you know, it's not totally bleak. You know, I do love my town. I love the people in it. And, you know, I love humanity. I'm not someone who's saying, oh, my God, we're doomed, even though, you know, we're going through globally and nationally here in the UK, we're going through quite a stressful time.
Right. Yeah. And bringing a new life into this world of turmoil and the unknown, it must create some stress, or at least mixed feelings.
Well, it certainly makes you think, well, I've just no idea what lies in store. I mean, that's why I think that the album title, the All This Will Be Yours, you know, what, you know, I'm looking at it now, what is it going to become? No one knows. I mean, there's certainly been a sea change of in this country, where we become incredibly polarized, and there's a lot more anger and resentment that didn't maybe existed previously, than it was bubbling under the surface. But now people have got a reason, they've got a mouthpiece to say, no, this polarization has really affected me and affected the society. And I'm just hoping that we'll get over it, and we'll look back at this period and go, yeah, that was a crazy time, wasn't it? You know, thank goodness we got through that.
Exactly, because of course we're feeling the same thing over here as well.
Equally polarized, isn't it? Yeah, so yeah. It's a shame, because it dominates, it just overtakes everything. And, you know, and when there's so much, so many other things that we should be talking about and moving on with.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about these lyrics. Let me know what's behind these. All I can see is you swept away from me, clutching the secrets I know. I'm already mourning your loss.
Well, yeah. So this is like a father looking at this sort of innocent child and knowing that she's going to grow up and know what life is really about. At the moment, her life is just complete, you know, happiness. She just lives in this home that we shelter her from everything and just give her as much love as we possibly can. But I know that one day she's going to find, you know, she's going to know the secrets that I know. You know, she's going to know, have to sort of overcome all of the angst that we have to go through in our teens and our, you know, when dealing with, like, what, you know, something as basic as the meaning of life, through to having to deal with, you know, the complexities of how do we get through our lives. And so this, and swept away from me, meaning that I can't stop you. I can't stop you doing that. As much as I would just love to just have this relationship that we have forever, I know that that's not going to be the case.
Mm, well, yeah. So in the production end of the music, which is, you know, quite inventive, and at this point you have full mastery over the studio, it sounds like, how do you decide how far to take it? Like with the Wisdom of Crowds album, you know, you went even more full on with the production and arrangement experimentation.
Yeah, I think when I started, I knew that I wanted to make it I didn't want to fill it up with loads and loads of layers, even though it has, you know, some of the songs have got quite a lot of different instruments. I wanted the ears to be able to travel through the sound. I wanted people, you to be able to hear everything that was going on. And And I also was quite taken with making it quite an acoustic record, even though there are some lots of electronics, there's lots of synths and things like that. There's also an awful lot of acoustic, because I always think that if you write a song and you can't play it on acoustic, then something's up with that song. I think you should be able to pick up an acoustic and say, yeah, this is this song that I wrote, and just play it. Mm-hmm. So that was the ethos that I took. And you're right, it's very when you've got an infinite number of toys at your possession, you do learn. I think as a producer, that's something I've learned over the years in how to take what you have and to make it and to push it in the right areas in the right way. And I think that's what I've tried to do with this record, was to keep it quite, not, I mean, sparse is probably not the right word, but it not to, like I said, not to just make it a huge, big sort of big production sound. I wanted to make it delicate.
Yeah, yeah. I think it really achieves that balance. You know, it's intimate, and yet there's a lot of layers there, so you can really engage with it with repeated listening and just kind of get absorbed into it. So I enjoy that aspect, yeah. So with having just released this new studio album, do you have any urges to play some of this material live on stage right now, even during the Pineapple Thief tour you're going on?
Yeah, well, funny enough, there's a promoter in Europe, in the Netherlands, who got in contact with me and said, hey, Bruce, it's your solo album. Come over to my venue and do a solo show. And it started off with, okay, I'll just do it. And I'd do what I did with Stephen Wilson and just took my looper pedal and my acoustic. And then I'm thinking, well, that won't really do it justice. And then so I thought, right, I'll get John, the bass player in the Pineapple Thief, who I've known since I was 18 years old. So I've known him he's my best friend. So I thought, yeah, let's get back on the road and do it like old days, you know, where we just get in the van and do these shows. And then we thought, oh, it would be really nice to have a drummer, wouldn't it? So now it's turned into a three-piece band. And so we're going to do this one show and see how it goes. We're also booked in to do a festival, funnily enough, in the Netherlands as well. Mm. And just see how it goes and see if people want to come and listen. And if they do, I think, yeah, we'll certainly do some more shows.
Yeah, I almost imagined you having a solo set, opening up your own band on this tour.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Blackfield used to open for Porcupine Tree back in the day. So,
But instead, you've got Randy McStein. How did that connection come about? Was that through Gavin?
Yeah, Gavin. Gavin, I can't remember how they met or how they knew each other, but they've certainly worked together before. And Gavin's just sung his praises, and you know, Gavin doesn't sing a lot of people's praises. So, for him to rate Randy was just enough for me. And so, yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, you'll enjoy him. He's fantastic. And so now, after you get through this new touring leg, you guys are looking at the next album already. And when we spoke last year, you said that for the next album that the Pineapple Thief does, you at that time you were hoping that you and Gavin would have some in-person writing sessions for a couple weeks or so, unlike what happened, you know, with the Dissolution songwriting that was done remotely. So I was curious if that's been able to happen yet, or if you hope that will happen in the future.
No, it hasn't happened yet. But at the moment, the way that we work though is so we're on the phone practically every day, sharing ideas, and Gav would send me a drum idea and then we would discuss what I'd done on top. So even though we're not in the same room, it still feels like, you know, we're in the same room. But we were talking about having a session, a jam session, but we always thought the danger of having a jam session is you just could end up just jamming in E and just end up with a 20-minute jam that goes nowhere. And I don't know. I'd certainly be up for it. I'd certainly be up to seeing where it goes. But funny enough, we've got a lot of material written. So we're going to sort of, I think on tour, we're going to have a good, because we'll all be together, the four of us, the core members of the Pineapple Thief. So we're going to have a month where we're going to sort of produce the record, see where we are, and then when we get back, we'll know what we've got to do.
All right. Well, that's handy, huh? That's
yeah, really handy.
Sweet. And any other plans for the for the album or the subsequent tour that'll happen? I heard that you wanted to use the same visas that you're on right now to hopefully come back to the States.
Yeah, I don't want to have to do that again. So it's, well, we got three, we're lucky, we got 3-year work visas. So,
Oh, nice.
That included plans to go, obviously, the 3-year plans for us to work in the States. So we'll certainly be coming back at least, you know, at least two more times after this.
Wow, fantastic. Well, we're anything else you want to mention to folks while we've got you here?
No, I don't think so. I hope that if we come into a place near you, that you can come and check us out.
Yeah, everyone definitely should take advantage of this opportunity. If you live in North America, we've got some dates in Canada and Mexico and the States.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's launching next Tuesday, I believe.
Next Tuesday in Atlanta, yeah. So all the dates on our website, obviously. So, yeah.
Does it take much time to rehearse to get back in shape?
Well, it does actually, but we just did a 2-day festival a few weeks ago, so we got together and rehearsed for that. So we're quite ready.
Right on.
But we got 2 days in Atlanta, so we got to pre-production in Atlanta for 2 days, and then the first show. So I think we're going to be quite well prepared.
Perfect. Well, I will see you when you roll in through Denver.
Brilliant. Yeah.
And we'd love to close with a song. And, you know, given all this activity, I'm unsure whether it should be from your solo album or one of the Pineapple Thief songs you're going to be playing on tour. So can I let you decide?
Oh, dear. I'll go and play one of my solo ones then. May as well play the new single, which is All This Will Be Yours.
Yeah. Brilliant. Anything you want to tell people about it?
Well, like we touched on earlier, it's a song about what the future holds, really. What the future holds specifically for me, my perspective was looking at my baby daughter, and you know, all this will be yours as I looked out at my town, and my nation, and the world, and yeah. And there's a video. There's also, check it out on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful song. So thanks so much for talking with us, Bruce, and we'll see you out on the road.
Yeah, pleasure as always, Scott. Thanks very much.
Thanks. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to this interview on Sonic Perspectives, and we invite you to join us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter to get the latest news and interviews that Sonic Perspectives is releasing. And we'll leave you now with this track, All This Will Be Yours, from the new Bruce Swords solo album. Enjoy.
Incarcerate.